Qatar has long housed a Hamas office, including its leadership, Khalid Mashal and Ismail Haniyeh, both of whom, in the immediate aftermath of October the 7th, made statements of praise for the attack on Israel. And what we're saying is this is Qatar has the privilege of being considered a major non-NATO ally. That's a label that is meant to connote sort of the strength of the relationship. We have a military base there. We have a long-standing relationship with them. And the notion, what offended me, what offended the organization was you have this major non-NATO ally harboring the leadership of a terror organization that conducted an attack against our major ally in Israel. That in addition to that, Qatar funds to the tune of several hundred million dollars a year, Hamas in Gaza. And we now see what that money has been spent on, which is not education and hospitals, but rather building tunnels and accumulating weapons. And Qatar ought to be held accountable for that. They ought to be given the opportunity to correct what they've done, that is, turn over the Hamas leadership and stop funding. Or they ought to be held accountable.
Well, that was the thing I was going to ask you. What is it that you think Qatar should do at this stage?
Yeah, I think Qatar realizes now, in the wake of the war in Gaza, they're going to face enormous pressure to close that Hamas office. It's interesting because when the Prime Minister of Qatar was called on this, he keeps saying that he opened that office in coordination with the US government. We've just never been able to find anybody who says, yeah, I talked to them and said that was okay. And so I think they recognize they're going to be forced not to allow them to live there and house that office.
What about the leadership, the people that are associated with Hamas's leadership that live there? In addition to closing the office, should other action be taken?
Absolutely. Not only are they living there, when you look at the horrific conditions in Gaza and the way that the Palestinians in Gaza have to live, and then you look at the leadership who's in Qatar, they're living in luxury. I mean, we've released and seen pu made public huge hotel bills and luxury hotels and spa appointments for these Hamas leaders, while average Palestinians are living in Gaza. And suffering. So they ought to have to, just as you would with any international criminal, they ought to have to turn them over to face justice for their participation in these terror crimes. They can turn them over to Israel, they can turn them over to the United States, or they can turn them over into the International Criminal Court. But these guys all ought to face justice.
Looking at what it is that Qatar is doing that I think got your attention, the Doha Forum, that doesn't seem to stack up in your eyes, at least based on what I read, as what it's supposed to be. It looks as though it's a smokescreen. Is that right?
That's right. Look, they've been doing this for years where they pay people to come. Literally, they pay them to come in. They hold this big public event talking about the global problems of the day. But this is, to call it what it is, this is a PR event for them. And sort of whitewashing their support for groups like Hamas. And so, in our state, in the Counter-Extremism Project statement this week, we called on anyone who's attending there to use that opportunity while they're there to call for Qatar to close the Hamas office and to turn over the leadership to face justice.
Hamas has friends in high places, friends that
Absolutely.
have money. Who are they getting this money from? How are they able to live this way?
So it's clear that the other major financial sponsor here is the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've tracked flights from the leadership of Hamas going from Qatar in private planes over to Tehran and coming back to Qatar. That's their major sponsor. We know that the Iranians are the largest single state sponsor of terror, not just Hamas, but also Hezbollah in Lebanon. And they provide weapons, they provide military training. There's no way a group like Hamas could have pulled off the military attack they did on October 7th, It was a tactical success for them. They approached from air, land, and sea. They were able to get around Israeli communications surveillance. There's no way they could have done that without really sophisticated military training. And that could only have come from Iran.
Fran Townsend is president of the Counter-Extremism Project and former U.S. Homeland Security Advisor. J.J. Green, WTOP News.